Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Morgan. Hey, this is Health Essentials. What a great way to just, it's a learning opportunity. There's a lot of people out there that really, really desire to do whatever they can that's going to help improve their body, or it's going to solve a problem, or it's going to make them better, but they want to find a natural way to do that. They don't want to rely on a drug that could potentially have a lot of side effects. In the last 36 years, I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of surgical failures. We're not here to talk about that. Here's what I want to talk about. I looked at my notes. I scribbled this down this morning, but I did not write down my source of the article. But I came across this article that said, and it caught my attention, but I thought it was interesting. The title of the article was Aroma of Innovation in Health and Disease. And I searched in my paperwork. I can't even find where I read that. I must have read that on the internet because I was looking up different terms and words. And I looked up several things, but that caught my idea. I mean, that caught my imagination right there. The Aroma of Innovation in Health of Disease. And what they're referring to is the aromatic essential oils that come from lemons, limes, oranges, grapefruits. Yeah, now it's coming back to my memory. There was a picture of a grapefruit that was peeled. I don't know anyone that would not want to eat a grapefruit. I mean, they just are about perfect. I think they're like the best flavor of all time. Anyway, about 30 seconds before it came on the air, I typed into my phone. I said, what's the most precise definition of innovation? And the first one that came up, it said innovation. They said it's a process of innovating. Okay, but tell me what the precise definition is. They said innovation is crucial to the continuing success of an organization. I thought, okay. But what you and I are going to discuss this morning is, how can we make you successful and me successful at the game called life, or keeping your body in good working order? Or if you're not in good working order, we need to start doing things that are going to bring your body and your cells back into good working order. That would be called healing or rejuvenation. It already goes without saying, 100% of the listeners this morning, including myself, are in need of healing. I also read another definition of innovation was a new method, an idea, or a product. But this last one I like the best. Listen to this right here. One definition of innovation is the process of bringing any new problem-solving idea into use. So on one level, isn't that one of the most precise definitions of intelligence? Meaning being able to problem solve or implement an idea, follow it through to completion. That just means doing, not just talking. And there's a huge difference between thinking of a great idea and actually being able to do it or implement it. Or you and I might say, if I felt like, let me just use cinnamon as my example. And then that's another one. I am just so fascinated by the research on cinnamon. It is incredible. I'm trying to think of all the stories I've heard of people being rushed to the ER because of a cinnamon overdose. Oh, wait, that has never happened. I haven't heard of that before. No, somebody could probably have a bad reaction. That's true for anything. But just, you stand in awe of the Creator. He's the one that made all that. It's just utterly amazing. Now, my mind kind of goes that way because I like that. That's what I like to pursue. I don't lay awake at night thinking about how I could get more chemotherapy and put in my veins to prevent cancer. That thought's never crossed my mind. But I tell you what. The idea of cinnamon at preventing all manner of diseases, it is incredible. Okay, so this in this article, I don't have it. I should have copied off, but I didn't do it. Sometimes I copy off one or two just because I want to scribble notes and write down definitions and look up things and cross-check and try to find, make sure I'm giving you the right information. But this article is called The Aroma of Innovation in Health and Disease. And I thought to myself, you mean you could actually inhale or breathe in, you know, through the respiratory system, through your nose, gets into the olfactory nerves, takes it to the brain, and it can actually have a benefit as far as your ability to perform mentally, emotionally, psychologically. Well, the compound that it was referring to is a very unique terpene, and the name of it is called limonene. And I quickly went down the list that it has anti-cancer properties, antiviral properties. You may not know what the word antiviral means, but if it says it's antiviral, then you start to think, well, they've done some research and studies that if you put limonene, which is the essential oil that comes from an orange or a lemon or a lime, grapefruit, you know, it's in the rind or the skin. I mean, it usually has a very, to me, just a very inviting aroma to it. Well, there's something about limonene from lemons or limes or grapefruit that tends to prevent the ability of a virus to reproduce. Now, who needs to know that? Well, I think everybody does. It also has antibacterial properties to it. Anti-diabetic. Is that important in today's society? Oh my goodness, yes. They also show that limonene has anti-inflammatory properties. One study demonstrated it lowers blood sugar and triglycerides when they take it as a supplement. And of course, they write that limonene is very easily broken down. And where do you get this from? Well, I've already told you. It's from, if you were to squeeze lemon juice, you know, into your, like right now, I've got a cup in front of me with ice in it. It's hibiscus tea, but I like hibiscus though. I just think I feel better when I drink it. But if I squeeze the juice of one lemon and really, you know, I'm using one of those old-fashioned glass orange juicing reamers. Oh yeah, I get as much oil as I can. But a lot of people, don't they cook with the zest of lemon? You know, you take your grater and just try to zest it. Well, this compound comes from the peels of any form of citrus. Okay. I went to several websites looking for precise information. So this is just what I wrote down from studies, and I'm giving you the short version. They did a study on rats that had ulcerative colitis. That is an autoimmune disease where your own immune system attacks the lining of your colon, for example. It does such horrific damage to it that you could literally, I mean, you could pass so much blood. There could be so many issues. I am not going to tell you the story the woman told me yesterday about the bleeding of a human being. I'll just say it that way because it would be too obvious if somebody heard me repeat that. It's not normal to pass blood. It's not. Can you just imagine all the inflammation and disease that's setting up in the colon if you're just leaking out and you're passing blood? Oh my goodness. Well, in this one rat study, all they did was give the rats just a little bit of limonene from a grapefruit, I think. And the ulcerative colitis, it caused the inflammation to go away. It caused it to heal. It greatly, significantly decreased the amount of damage to the colon. Now, that may not be important to everybody, but that's going to be important to some people. What if somebody has tremendous stomach gastrointestinal problems and they're just m in misery all the time? Well, you might want to remember limonene. Here's another one right here. And I know I didn't copy the article off, so I don't really have all the raw data, but they did a test tube study with human leukemia cells. That's a form of blood cancer. It's one of those liquid cancers. I don't want anybody to have leukemia, but we're living in a toxic world. But it showed that it greatly helped leukemia cells when you introduce limonene. And again, where does that come from, you ask? Well, it comes from the rind of lemon or lime. There's a, what are those little clementine cuties called? Tangerines or mandarins? I've always loved satsumas. I think they're going to be ready to purchase come the end of November. I could be wrong, but I think that's correct. But in this test tube study, it inhibited the free radicals or all the inflammatory damage in leukemia cells. Well, maybe that'd be helpful. I'm not trying to make anything a panacea, but I mean, you need every tactical advantage and a little bit of help that you can get. And if limonene gives you a health benefit, why not consider it? Now, here's the one right here that just kind of blew my mind. It may not mean anything to you, but I thought, this is impressive. Okay, there's one study I came across where they had 43 women that were just newly diagnosed with breast cancer. You may not know this, but breast cancer is not uncommon. It's way too common. I don't want any woman developing a cancerous tumor in the breast. But get this right here. Just listen to this. And this is all I wrote down. I didn't write down the reference. 43 women, they've got breast cancer. And what they did was they gave them 2 grams of that terpene called limonene daily for 2 weeks. Okay? You're probably thinking, well, what possible, you know, improvement would they see in 2 weeks from limonene? Remember, it was 2 grams. You can take it in supplement form. There was a 22% average reduction in the size of the tumors. Folks, if that's not chemotherapy, I know I can't call that chemotherapy. But if limonene somehow or another causes the tumor in the breast to shrink by 22%, there's got to be some health-promoting benefit. Would you agree with that? Okay, here's another one I came across right here. So what they did was, and I'm just giving you the short and the sweet of it, they looked at people that drink orange juice and grapefruit juice and lemonade, and they compared them against people that would, how did they do it? I think it said they would use a little bit of the rind or the pith, but the people that use the skins of lemon, maybe they just made tea out of it. I don't know. I need to go back and read that because I didn't read all of it. But it showed people that have contact and consume the limonene that comes from the peels of limes and lemons, they've got some of the lowest levels of skin cancer. That's kind of related to the one I just told you about, female breast cancer. Okay, that was cool. Now, another one I came across, I wrote it down. I'm probably going to butcher the terminology, but there's a drug called doxorubicin. You know what that is? It's chemotherapy. They give it to somebody that has cancer. They're wanting the doxorubicin to kill the cancer. Does that make sense? Well, lo and behold, somebody had the genius idea to give limonene to these women and men that were on doxorubicin. And guess what it helped do? It greatly helped prevent kidney damage. Do you ever think about the kidneys as being kind of a sophisticated, elegant, amazing, but I'm going to say delicate filtration system? When I say delicate, you can damage them. I'll give you some simple ways that you can just wreck the kidneys right now. Let me see. What would be one of those ways? Just drink a bunch of Cokes. You will literally beat the life out of the kidneys by drinking Cokes and eating sugar, because that's all acid. One of the jobs of the kidneys is to help buffer the pH and keep your blood slightly alkaline. Remember, your body wants a pH of the blood around 7.35 to 7.4. And if you just keep shoveling acid, or you drink a lot of alcohol and beer, or another way of destroying the kidneys is just taking Advil and ibuprofen. If you have never heard that before, just go to your computer and type in, can ibuprofen cause high blood pressure or contribute to it? Yeah, because it tortures your kidneys. If a person wants to destroy the kidneys, a pretty good way to do that would be with Tylenol. That could do it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So soft drinks, alcohol, sugar, and ibuprofen. That could do it. Okay. So anyway, I thought that was significant that I found a study showing a little bit of limonene in people that were taking chemotherapy. It helped keep the kidneys in good working order. You could say this any way you want. If it helps your kidneys resist severe damage and toxicity, that's what the chemotherapy is. It's all toxic. You already know what would happen. If you gave a normal, healthy, radiant, beautiful human being chemotherapy, what would happen? Oh, it'd be a disaster. I'm talking about when they don't have cancer. By the way, there's no studies on that. They don't give chemotherapy to healthy people so they can find out what the side effects are because they're all horrible. Here's one that I came across on limonene when it came to a heart study. I'm going to say heart study because once I tell you these markers, you're going to think, well, yeah, that relates to the heart. And always remember, the number one killer in America is going to be heart disease. So get this right here. Mice were given limonene. How much were they given, you ask? 0.27 grams a day. That doesn't sound like much. Anyway, what's the net result? When they were fed a high-fat, high-sugar diet, triglycerides went down. Quite often, LDL is called the bad cholesterol. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's not the narrative they say. But LDL went down. Now, let me stop right there for just a second. If anybody out there has been to a doctor recently or they've had chronically elevated cholesterol, what do we do to remedy that? Do we give statin drugs? Or do we try to fix the underlying issues? And maybe there's a lack of nutrition. And limonene might be one of those things that if your body had just enough of it, it might be in better working order. That's really how you lower cholesterol. If it's high, get the body healthier. That's it. Limonene in this mouse study lowered triglycerides, lowered LDL. It decreased fasting blood glucose or blood sugar. You are not better off if your average blood sugar is 127 day in, day out. You're not. All you're doing is you're causing the lining of your arteries to be sticky, gooey. It's like caramel syrup that just generates so much inflammation. It's just so rough on the body. Everything begins to rust out. Did I mention inflammation yet? Yeah, I think I did. It also showed that when they gave just a little bit of limonene to these mice, it decreased the amount of fat accumulation in the liver. Now, in the real world, what's that called? That's called fatty liver disease. I mean, I can't just walk up to every person that I meet on the street and say, sir, I understand you have a diagnosis of kidney failure and liver failure, and now you've got other issues with other systems in your body. You just can't go up to them and ask and say, would you like me to help you? It just doesn't go that way. It kind of has to be their idea. I spent the time on the phone with a woman yesterday just pleading with me about her husband. And I kind of had to bluntly tell her that, you know, your husband's not the least bit interested in anything that I'm offering. I know that because he said so. Anyway, he's not buying it. And the thing of it is, he's so young. What is this going to look like in just a couple years? Are we going to wait till he's 43 years old, until he's nearly dead before we take it? No. Boy, that would be wisdom right there. The ability to size up a situation and say, hey, what are my options here? And you know, in the real world, all you can do is you got to focus on the things that are in your control. I can't change what's going on in the Ukraine. I can't change Taiwan. That's not under my charge or authority. But I can tell you what, I can choose to drink water instead of soft drinks all day long. Instead of sitting on the couch, could you get up and go for a walk? I think so. And could you squeeze lemon? I think just about everybody is capable of squeezing or, you know, extracting the juice of a lemon or a lime and adding it to their morning water. What if that would be one of the simple ways that you could help all the organs, including the liver and the kidneys, actually work better? And if they work better, they'll do a much better job of keeping you in good working order, and they'll help you detoxify. Maybe that's the other way of saying it. When your kidneys and your liver fail, that's because you've poisoned yourself. Toxicity. You have exceeded what your liver and kidneys can handle. Anyway, so I know there's always a risk of side effects of somebody consuming limonene or a citrus oil and having a bad reaction. I get that. I mean, I could find almost any substance. Let me just choose one. An apple. Yeah, some people have allergic reactions to apples. I don't, and you don't. But I have to be open to maybe one person in 100,000. They don't do well with apples. Now, I've never heard anybody complain about cucumbers. I'm just joking. There are a lot of people out there. If they have cucumbers, oh my goodness, it upsets their tummy so much they just can't take it. It's just not worth it. And I get that. Well, let's find something else. Maybe a watermelon would work much better. Okay. Oh my goodness, I've been talking for 20 minutes. Well, let me get through this right here. This is the one that I wanted to read to you. This is probably way too much of a buildup. Please forgive me. But if this is good information, it's all good. Okay, here it is right here. I'll get through this quickly. This article is called The Stimulatory Effect of Orange Oil. Now, what I want you to bear in mind is orange oil contains that terpene I've been talking about called limonene. Okay, in the year 2024, obstetricians at Behishtai University, I'm sorry I butchered that, what they did was they got pregnant women to inhale orange oil while they were going through labor. Okay? Comes from a medical journal, 2014. And what they did was the researchers put a few drops of the orange oil on a bandage, which they put around the woman's neck. That's just probably their way of saying, if we put a few drops of orange oil on this piece of gauze and tie it around your neck, gently, of course, she'll be able to breathe it in while she's in labor. And you're thinking, well, that is just ridiculous. Why would somebody do something like that? Don't you know that we have all these opioids and drugs we can give women so they don't feel anything? Well, okay, true. So they have a control group, and they have a questionnaire. So I'm going to say it this way. All they're doing is they're measuring the anxiety levels of women when they're giving birth. I don't know about you, but I don't want to experience anxiety. I don't want to have a panic attack. I have seen many people have panic attacks. It's not fun. It is not pretty. And I would just venture a guess there's going to be a percentage of those people having a panic attack that think that they're going to die. They literally think this is it. There's no way they're going to survive it. Could you imagine how bad that is? Talk about fight or flight. Would you imagine that maybe the adrenaline is just through the roof? Well, on the questionnaire, and all they're doing is just measuring anxiety levels while they're giving birth, they say the number between 61 and 80 is severe anxiety. Oh my goodness, poor woman. I don't want a woman being super anxious and feeling like she's going to die when she's giving birth. Okay, so they have what's called the control group. That means the women giving birth, but they didn't receive any orange oil on a bandage around their neck, or like a necklace maybe. Yeah, I'll say a necklace. That sounds a little bit better. Well, they scored 61.86, the control group. That means they had most severe anxiety when they were giving birth. Okay. Now they do, and I'm just going to read this one thing to you and I'll be done with it. When the women that had the aromatherapy were dilated between 6 to 8 centimeters of the cervix, you know, they're getting ready to give birth, their anxiety levels were a 43.19, which means they're right there on the edge of having mild anxiety. Folks, to me, that is impressive. It really is. Okay. You know what? Use your imagination. What do you think I'm telling you this for? The men listening aren't pregnant. They're not going to go through labor. But what if they're telling themselves, they're having the conversation, I do not like it when my mind races out of control. I want to take captive every thought for Christ. I don't want to be stressed out all the time. I want to think clearly. Or the way that I would like to be, I would just as soon be calm, very relaxed where I can think clearly. So a few drops of orange oil, I'll let you do that how you want to do that. If you want to put that to the test, well, okay, all right. Let's see what happens. Here's study number two. In 2005, the researchers described in a journal called Active Horticulture, that may have something to do with plants, there was an experiment in which 24 students remained in a... Now, this is 2005, so I don't know if they used diffusers back then, so just listen to this. They used a lamp. They call it an aroma lamp. I'm just guessing it was a light bulb with heat in it. I don't know. For 20 minutes, for the experimental group, the lamp was filled with 1.2 grams of sweet orange oil and 3.5 grams of water. Okay? It's almost like 3 parts water to 1 part orange oil. Sounds like a lot. For the placebo group, the lamp contained only water. So 20 minutes. So before and after the exposure to the students were asked to give themselves a score between 0 and 10 for how alert they were feeling. And, number two, to say whether they found the aroma that the lamp was producing made them feel more upbeat. If you want to say positive, so again, are you alert? Do you feel pretty upbeat? You know, positive. I've got the chart, you can't see it, but orange oil just smashed all the placebo group's numbers. Like, great improvement. Anyway, that's interesting. Maybe everybody at your house is angry and they have ADD and they can't think or concentrate. All they want to do is play violent video games and watch horror movies. Maybe we could put some orange oil and they'll start turning on Little House on the Prairie or National Geographic, or they'll stop playing video games and they'll start reading books that actually have meaning, and you might learn something, and you can cause some brain cells to grow. I don't know. What do you think? No, study number three. This one's real fast. This comes from the journal called Chemical Senses 2001. Sometimes I look at these and I think, wow, that was 24 years ago. March. I'm going to say 24 and a half years ago. The most important component in natural orange oil is limonene. According to a 2001 human study, inhaling limonene makes people feel more alert and improves their mood. I've got the graph and the chart right here. You can't see it, but mood greatly improved as compared to the control group, and alertness was off the chart compared to those that did not inhale the limonene. Anyway, for those of you that like essential oils, that's a pretty good program. All right, if you want to join me on the radio, the phone line's officially open. If you do not call and ask me a highly intelligent question where I can help you, then I'm going to keep talking about essential oils for the next 30 minutes. I'm only joking. The phone number here at the station is 903-589-8507. All right, here we go. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
I'm joking. The phone number here at the station.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Excuse my voice. I've got a cold.
Oh, no, you're doing great. I can hear you perfectly.
Oh, thank you. I was glad to have the information about the orange oil. And I'm calling about my son-in-law. He has restless leg syndrome. And he asked me to ask you if there is anything all natural that he could take for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to ask you one question to begin with. In your estimation, is he doing anything health-wise to his body that he should not be doing? Like, does he have any habits that are not in his best interest?
The only one that I know of is he uses chewing tobacco.
Okay. I'm going to try to say this just as easily as I can without going into too much detail. But when you say restless leg, are you talking about he just lays in bed and he can't keep his legs still? They're irritated. Or are you saying that he has some discomfort or pain?
He doesn't say that he has pain, but even when he's sitting in a chair, his feet are going back and forth, just constantly moving.
You know, the number one mineral that really comes into my mind right now, I'm just only thinking about magnesium. There's a lot of other players like sodium, chloride, potassium. But magnesium is the one that I'm probably going to, you know, put my bet on. So there's a lot of ways he could do this. He could try, did you say he's your son-in-law?
Yes.
Were you suggesting he's your favorite son-in-law?
Well, I have three. They're all my favorites.
Do you like it when I ask trick questions? No, I'm just joking. So what he could try doing is his wife could go to the store and get some magnesium oil and just rub it on his feet every night and see if that starts the process of making a difference. If he had muscle fibers that were jerking or twitching, I know that's like a fasciculation or a mini spasm, he could rub oil directly on those. But what I want to do over the next, let's say 3 to 4 weeks, is I just want to give him some magnesium orally. So if he could take a magnesium supplement, there's everything from magnesium lactate to maybe magnesium glycinate. Those would probably be my first two choices. Probably the product I use the most of to fix legs would be one called Easy Mag, but it's made from buckwheat. So it's a little bit more expensive because they have to grow it in an organic field. But they're getting a high concentration of magnesium from the buckwheat plant. And that's a product called Easy Mag. So most likely he has a little bit too much either cortisol or adrenaline coursing through his body. Is his job stressful by chance?
He seems to really enjoy his job.
Good. What does he do?
He works for the Sabine River Authority, which is, you know, he's working around these lakes that Lake Tawakoni and Lake Fork.
Oh, man, that sounds fun.
So he's outside a lot, and sometimes there's, you know, when in the summer it's really hot out there, and but he recently got a promotion, and so he's working inside some. And he seems to be happy about that.
So we could give him some magnesium. We could see if that helps. The gland that's at the center of the brain is called the master control gland. It's called the hypothalamus. I've seen a lot of people that have just all this tremendous nervous energy where their legs are constantly bobbing up and down. That's almost always stress upon the hypothalamus. And one of the ways that I respond to that is I first have to figure out, are they consuming anything that contains artificial sugar? That could be aspartame or Splenda, sucralose, you know, things like that. But if they're taking those, I try to get them off of them and have them use raw honey or maple syrup in place of it if they need a little bit of something in coffee or tea. But he could be dehydrated. He really could be dehydrated. If I had a nickel for every time I saw a person with restless legs and it's because they're dehydrated, I'd have like a boatload of nickels right now. Wait a second. I can see it right now. I'm rich. I've got a lot of nickels.
Well, he doesn't drink coffee, but he drinks a Coke in the morning for the caffeine.
Well, and this is only information, but every time you drink a beverage that contains what's called phosphoric acid, I don't know anything that causes a greater magnesium loss than that. So I think we're on the right page on this. So drinking the Coke is going to cause his body to dump huge amounts of magnesium. They're just going to wash right out of him. He's going to lose big time. You know what the solution is? Give him a Topo Chico. That'd be mineral water that has carbon dioxide infused into it. That'd be great.
we said every time.
Every time you drink a soft drink, if you look on the label of Coca-Cola or Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, I guess we could say 7-Up, Sprite, Mountain Dew. I don't even know, Big Red. I think I'm running out of soft drinks. But you look at it, and it says it contains phosphoric acid. Phosphoric acid is so harsh. The only way your body can deal with that is to dump its great reserves of magnesium. So if the legs of an adult man or woman or even child become depleted in magnesium, you're constantly fidgeting. You're bobbing your legs up and down nonstop. Can't sit still. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
But did you understand what I meant about drinking a Coke causes your body to dump and lose its magnesium?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. This is all very helpful.
So, I mean, I'm not trying to be mean to him at all, but I mean, the Coca-Cola is just going to destroy him. It'll be his destruction.
Wow.
Now, see, I can get away with this on the radio, but in person, a person will just laugh at me and say, Dr. Morgan, you are ridiculous. I'm not giving up my 20 Mountain Dews a day. I'm going all right. Well, I'm great friends with the dialysis center here in Jacksonville. I can get you an appointment.
Wow.
No, it doesn't really work that way. But the choices that a person makes are going to have a very positive or negative influence upon their health. There's no way that the Food and Drug Administration would say it is perfectly fine to drink a Coca-Cola. There's no way they could say that. All it does is destroy health.
Right.
Especially the diet ones. The diet ones are worse than the regular ones.
I know I've heard you say that, and I believe it with all my heart, because I see people that are drinking Diet Cokes all day and very overweight, and it's not helping at all. It's not helping.
You know, sometimes I wonder to myself, what is this country going to look like in 10 years when you have a third of the population is so disabled they can't work, even though they're young, but they're not able to be productive, they can't run a business, they can't work for a service company, they can't sell products, because they're so disabled. I mean, I know this to be true because I talk to people all day long. I have young people say, I can't work anymore. And why is that? Well, my body's worn out. But you're so young. What do you mean? Anyway.
Right.
But they still, I mean, that'd be like saying, we want to give people food aid assistance like food stamps, but you allow them to purchase things that would destroy them like Cokes. I don't really know that like it's a fact. It's just an example. So your son-in-law, he could try magnesium oil every night. That would be easy to do. Man, if it was me, I like the idea of, I mean, do what I do. It's easy to just, it takes maybe what, 10 seconds to scrub a lemon clean, another 5 seconds to cut it in half, 10 more seconds just to gently, you know, get the juice out of half of it and the other half, and just pour it in whatever you're drinking. So if you were drinking green tea or hibiscus tea, see, if we start talking about him drinking green tea in the morning, his health will improve. I mean, the studies on green tea are incredible. Because what's going to happen if his body starts, the restless legs mean he's aging rapidly. I don't mean to be rude by that, but somebody with restless legs, they're aging rapidly. Their body is burning the candle too hot. But he's got a great job. I mean, being outdoors all day long, that's like a dream job.
Yes. I'm writing all this down.
Yeah, just have him drink a green tea in the morning. If you want something bubbly, that's called a Topo Chico or some type of carbon dioxide-infused mineral water, that'd be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You so much.
Thanks for your phone call. I sure do appreciate you, and I wish you the best.
All
I hope you get over.
Okay, thank
you. Let me tell you what to do to get over the cold quickly.
Yes, sir.
There's a homeopathic remedy called Oscillococcinum. They sell it at all the stores, even like Walmart or Target, places like that. Drug Emporium, Natural Grocer, Sprouts, health food stores, Granary, all great places like that. Oscillococcinum. Even this week, I think I've recommended it 6 or 7 times. You want me to tell you how many people have called me back and said it's worked amazing? I've had 4 calls this week. That might be the world record for me. It's a homeopathic remedy called Oscillococcinum. Begins with the letter O. But you can get that anywhere. But if you'll start taking that, it really assists the immune system at overcoming a cold or a virus. It really does.
Okay. And how do you spell that?
I'm trying to right now. Oscillococcinum. Okay, here goes. Oscillisicocinum. I'm real sorry, but that's what it's called. Oscillisicococcinum.
Is that all one word?
Unfortunately, it is.
Okay.
It's if I'm not mistaken, it's made from duck liver and duck heart.
Wow.
See there, and you thought that ducks weren't valuable. They're super valuable.
Right. Well, I will certainly see if I can get some of that. Thank you.
You know,
so
you're
much.
Welcome. Thank you for your phone call. I'm rooting for you. Hope you get to feeling better pretty quick.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Let me see. If I took a small swimming pool and put water in it for the ducks to play in, all I would be doing is creating a huge mess for myself. They poop everywhere. All right, the phone number here at the station is 903-589-8507. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing well. I wondered, how do you spell that? Limonene?
Let me write it down. That one's easy. L-I-M-O-N-E-N-E. Limonene.
Okay. Thank you very much.
But it's found in like orange oil or lemon oil, which you could put that in a diffuser and maybe you know somebody that might benefit by having a very positive, upbeat mood because of it. How about that?
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Finally, somebody called and they asked me to spell something that I'm capable of spelling. Thank you, ma'am. The phone is officially open, 903-589-8507. 903-589-8507. Okay, let me see right here. Let's go to the phone lines. Well, good morning and welcome to the program. Uh-oh, they hung up. Sorry. It's here, there, I missed them. 903-589-8507. That actually might have been my fault. I may have accidentally pushed the button twice. I didn't, or inadvertently, I didn't mean to. Let's try this right here. Okay, I think I did that right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, how's everything going?
Pretty good. I need to ask you a couple of questions. I've taken blood pressure medication for about 34 years. Is it possible to stop doing that and do something more natural?
The first thing that I would look at is what is the condition of your kidneys. I'm going to suggest strongly to you that maybe 90 to maybe 92% of all blood pressure control is regulated by kidneys. So when the kidneys are happy, they can do a much better job. So that would be something, if your doctor ordered a test called a comprehensive metabolic panel, That would go a long way to telling me what the condition of your kidneys are. But I don't know if you know this, but about 2 weeks ago, I read an article. I think it was from either Indonesia or Malaysia, but they took people with uncontrollable high blood pressure. Couldn't be helped. And it was just a seven-day-long study. I don't think I've ever seen such impressive numbers. But what they did was they had individuals take a cucumber, add water, and blend it up in a blender and just make like a cucumber water. That's not the same as maybe putting slices of cucumber in water and making an infusion. They were just blending it up to make a green cucumber drink. That lowered blood pressure, and I'll just tell you what the numbers were because I remember them. Okay. The systolic blood pressure, that's your top number on your blood pressure reading. So if your blood pressure was 166.5 over 140, then at the end of 7 days, they remeasured their blood pressure, and there was an average drop of 16.5 points.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just 7 days. I wish the study had gone on longer. Number two, the diastolic pressure dropped by an average of 9.5 points. That means it would have gone from, so if it was like 150 over 90, I mean, it would have been like 135 over 80 in just 7 days. Now, that's something you can deal with, and that's without medication. And what I'm going to propose to you is there are, I think the substance is given a classification name of a triterpenoid. That's found in high concentration of cucumbers, but it has a tremendous healing benefit toward blood pressure.
I wonder if you would get that same benefit just if you start eating a lot of cucumbers.
You would. Yeah, exactly. I think you're making a great point. If you don't want to drink it, just start eating cucumbers.
Next question. For several years, I've been using a product called Vital Proteins. Is that bad for you, or is it? I take it for my hair.
Well, does it work?
It doesn't. I was hoping to grow more hair, but it only helps my hair grow long faster.
Okay, well, that's what your hair is made of. It's made of pure protein, so you're on the right track. So I'm gonna say it this way: as a human being ages, and we're all aging. I mean, I'm like 97. I'm just joking about that. But the longer that you live, the harder it is to efficiently absorb and assimilate and use protein. All I'm saying is, every day you've got to make a concerted effort to get enough protein. Does that make sense? And that may be one thing the protein drink is doing for you. It's making that easier.
But you don't think there's anything bad or anything about taking it?
Well, the one time, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just said, would there be a more natural, or would that be considered natural to, you know, drink that?
Can I tell you what the most natural of all is? If you just focus on eating fish and eggs and chicken and beef, things like that.
Okay.
There was one article that I really wish that I had talked about today. It was about eggs and how they change protein levels, and I wish I'd copied that off because I just found it so interesting, and I just kind of think in my mind, eggs might be like a perfect protein.
Well, I eat eggs, so...
You're such a good girl.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, ma'am. Hope you have a great day.
You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. I was reading this morning about prostate cancer and breast cancer, and so there are unique situations that a person can actually overdo the protein. And I realize I'm just throwing some information out there, but there may be some people out there that go way, way, way overboard on the protein, and they just consume way too much. And under those circumstances, that might actually backfire if you're dealing with prostate cancer or maybe breast cancer. But what we want is adequate protein. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, this is Jolene. I'd like to ask you a question about detoxing. I'm real prone to get food poisoning if food is just, you know, borderline and some people still eat it. I can't. It'll give me food poisoning. Unfortunately, I did get that from a restaurant, from their salad. So I'm trying to figure out, it's been lingering like 3-4 days now. How do I kind of like wash my body out or flush it out or whatever you want to call it? What can I do that? I do make a ginger tea. But,
well, that's smart.
Yeah, I drink ginger water is what I call it. And I just take the ginger root, boil it, and then make it like a tea. No sugar, but just like it is. And that's very refreshing. But I need to clean myself out, and I'm not sure the best way to do that.
Well, I'm going to give you many options, and you're going to pick and choose which one. But I hate to do this to you, but the organism is called Saccharomyces boulardii.
Okay.
Isn't that horrible that I would do that to you while you're driving?
Yeah, I can't write it down.
Well, it's called Saccharomyces. I mean, I'm used to reading it, but I don't want to assume that you're used to reading it because I see it all. But the organism is called Saccharomyces boulardii. That's what you want when you have food poisoning or Montezuma's revenge or something like that.
Okay.
It's considered health food store. It's considered a probiotic yeast, so it's kind of in a state of suspended hibernation in the capsule or the powder. But when you swallow it, it wakes up, and guess what it does? It will eat the virus, the bacteria, the protozoas, whatever the disease is in the tainted food to clean it out real quick. Now, if you can't have access to that, you could always just try what's called food-grade activated charcoal, or activated charcoal for short.
I forgot about charcoal.
And so what you can do is you could probably, if it's bad and you want to get it over quickly, just do it on an empty stomach. Just take like about 6 or 7 capsules of charcoal, dump them in a glass of water. Of course, the water's going to turn black.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't taste bad. I mean, you could just drink it right down.
Okay.
Other thing that I might do if it were me is I'd probably take a pretty big dose of garlic.
Oh.
Now, how does that affect me, how you smell? But I can almost guarantee you that there will be no werewolves or vampires anywhere close to you if you take a lot of garlic. Can you take garlic? We lost a signal, sorry. That's what happens with cell phones on the highway. You get to a low spot, and it just cuts out. A lot of times when I drive farm to Market Road 855, I'm on that one frequently. And, man, there's like a valley. Just everything's gone. I've tried having conversations with people. Can't be done. You're going to lose it. All right, the number here at the station is 903-589-8507. There's about, I don't know, 6 minutes left in the program. Plenty of time for a call. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. And since you have such a sense of humor, I wanted to tell you what I heard, the genesis of restless leg syndrome.
Okay.
They've traced it back to one of two sources. Elvis Presley and the entire cast of Riverdance.
So it is infectious, right?
Apparently. Anyway, I thought I'd leave that with you.
Hey, thank you very much. Have a great day, buddy. Bye-bye. Riverdance? That sounds like people having a lot of fun. Restless leg syndrome. You know what, in all seriousness, what you want is you want people being calm and relaxed. That would be the sign of a great nervous system. But if you're stressed and you've got a lot of stress on your body, you're going to be restless leg. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was calling to find out about kidney cysts.
Kidney what?
Kidney cyst.
Oh, a cyst on the
kidney. CYST.
Yeah, sorry about that. I thought you said something else I hadn't heard of before. If you have like an ultrasound on the kidneys or a CAT scan, it shows back that you've got renal cysts. That's the same thing as a kidney cyst. What that means
I'm aware of the problem. I have it. I'm just curious if there's any.
Means your kidneys have been poisoned. So cysts are always going to form in response to toxins. So what have you put into the body that's toxic to your kidneys?
Nothing. I had cancer when I was 12 and 13, but I've had several, ultrasounds and stuff done since then. These didn't form until later in life, until my late 30s, and according to PKD, that's when a lot of times when that shows up in your late 30s.
Well, yesterday I covered an article with a woman, and we looked it up on the internet, and it was an article about kidney disease and magnesium. And so in the article, it showed or demonstrated that there's a proclivity for cysts to form in the presence of a magnesium deficiency. So all these vitamins and minerals, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said okay. I'm just agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so there's going to be the Goldilocks just right amount of magnesium. And my sales pitch to her was, in a different article, was what we want is we want to get it 2.4 or above on serum magnesium. So if you went to have a simple blood test, it's called serum magnesium. You want that to be 2.4, 2.5, 2.6, something like that. When it's below 2.3, that's where you have all the kidney problems.
Huh.
So that's
easy. That.
Well, you did now. And now you know what to do.
Well, I mean, I take magnesium, but I don't know what my magnesium level is. I take CoQ10, and I take a bunch of other supplements. But
you need to have your magnesium levels tested as just one parameter. I'm not trying to overpromise to you, but the very simple test, they do one called a comprehensive metabolic panel, and one of the things they look for is they look at creatinine. They look at BUN, that's just an acronym for blood, urea, nitrogen. They look for GFR, which is a glomerular filtration rate. Do you happen to know what your number is?
I know all that. I've got all that.
Well, do you, are your number? All right.
My GFR is 37, so I know I'm
okay. Well,
with the kidney disease.
Well, that means you're in pretty severe kidney failure.
Yeah.
This is like unbelievable. So you're wondering why you have cysts. But you've got kidney failure. It's making sense to me now. It's because your kidneys aren't good. So this we can't have this ridiculous conversation about, but I'm taking coenzyme Q10. Sir, you're going to have to get on the ball on this. I don't want you to have dialysis. So we need to focus on what are the most positive ways that we can help your kidneys to heal. And right now you're in a real pickle, buddy. So you're going to have to rethink everything. So at 37, this is not looking good. So we need to change that.
Yeah. Well, I've done everything I know to do.
Well, let's work on that. I know we're out of time technically. Maybe you need to go to somebody where they can explain to you in great detail a different course of action instead of just doing what's not working.
Yeah.
A very narrow window. Either you fix it now or you'll be on dialysis. I do not want you to be on dialysis.
No, I don't either. So, going back to the kidney doctor again, so we'll see what happens.
Well, I wish I could tell you I have tremendous confidence in what you just said, but I don't, because I ask every single person, what did your kidney doctor say specifically to heal, repair, restore.
Know. Okay, they're all about keep the insurance
then,
going.
Then why did you did you say that then? Why did you say the solution is to go to the kidney doctor? Then the next statement say, well, he don't know. Isn't that a definition of madness?
He knows, but in his opinion, I've actually had three different kidney doctors.
Well, the good news is you have great choices ahead of you to make, and you have this natural God-given power to make. You have full, you can do whatever you want. It's called free will. So you can choose to do what you need to do to help yourself. independently from the three different kidney doctors. You can actually heal your body. You just have to make different choices.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you for your phone call, and we're all out of time.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.